You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 5 June. We've got U.S. employment data due 2:30 this afternoon. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from MoneyWeb Studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Jimmy Muyaha, the 91 results earlier in the week initially saw the stock sell off, but asset managers really should be enjoying higher markets. Certainly, they get better fees from it, even if we are seeing some volatility. We'll get Jimmy's views on that. Leon Kaki is chair, SA REIT Association Accounting and JSE Committee. I want to ask what that giant big committee thing is, but they've also got a third edition of their best practices for REITs. And then thoughts for me, the AI rally, boom or bap bubble, and does it matter? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, Eskom municipal takeover may expand to 30 municipalities. Legal compliance process to be expedited. And Bloomberg, SpaceX and other mega IPOs denied fast index entry by S&P. This after FTSE Russell and NASDAQ both fast-track the mega listings. Morning markets. US was mixed. We have S&P up 0.4%, NASDAQ off 0.5%. The East is all red. Sydney just over 1% down, as is Tokyo. Hong Kong just under 1% weaker. Tencent 0.25% down. Commodities mostly red. Gold futures 4,463. Brent 95.48. Platinum is unchanged at 1,881. Palladium 1,311. The rand is 16.33. Bitcoin 62,700. And top 40 opening call red open 230 points or 0.2% lower.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Moyar, independent analyst. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning. If we look to those 91 results, came out 2 days ago, earlier this week. I mean, in many senses, I thought not a bad set. Of course, they've got the Sanlam transaction and assets under management that added 18 billion sterling. Earnings up some 12%, a dividend of just over, 13.4 pence per share. Market didn't like it. Your thoughts? Because typically asset managers like rising markets. They just earn more, even if they don't necessarily give any alpha.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Particularly if you're an asset manager that has a little over 4 trillion rand, which is by my estimates, in assets under management. 91 officially, however, reported just shy of the 3 point, or just shy of that 4 trillion rand mark, around the 3.9 trillion rand mark in terms of assets under management. But when you look deeper into the numbers, there was portfolio growth. You mentioned that 12% portfolio growth. That's 19 million pounds sterling of portfolio growth in addition to the Sanlam acquisition growth. So I think the market wasn't necessarily discounting something that they didn't like. They did, of course, include that they're increasing their buyback program as well from the initial £30 million that was announced last year to almost double that at around £55 million. So the market perhaps looking at that and saying that there might be a bit of money off the table again now, or a bit more money being spent into that. But if you look at 91 and how cash generative that business is, it's understandable that at some point you must do something with that cash. They are the largest asset manager, largest private asset manager on the African continent. In fact, they're even larger than the PIC by assets under management. So that effectively makes them the largest asset manager on the African continent, even though they report in sterling and they have that London-based business that they deal through, that they work through. So I wasn't disappointed with the numbers. It's very difficult at that size from a 91 perspective to grow, and to grow via acquisitions is exceptionally difficult as well. So that Sanlam bolt-on was exceptionally good for them to be able to get over the line onto the balance sheet. Those assets are going to serve them well. I think if you're a 91 at this stage, you're looking at the market, and I had a conversation with Hendrik du Toit, the CEO, around how it is that they're seeing the market, and they're concerned about the concentration risk that's starting to emerge in AI. Everything's an AI trade. Everything is an AI-focused trend. And the concern there is, as an asset manager, how are you really seeking out your returns? And thankfully for 91, they're relatively diversified across geography, across asset class, across strategy. So even though they're flagging this as a concern from their perspective, they've also said that from their perspective as a business, they are looking at things a little differently. I think the market was probably just expecting perhaps a lot more, or markets are in that phase where they're not really sure what to make of news. I mean, think about the earnings season we went through in the US. Nvidia came out, completely smashed estimates, and even that share price didn't go up as how we thought it would. I think just the global markets at the moment, the sell-off that we're seeing on the equities front might have more to do with some unrelated factors such as the war, such as the risk of sentiment that's in the market, because none of the markets truly have been behaving the way they should. But when you look at 91's balance sheet, there's no reason for that share to have sold off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking, I mean, we've got, I mean, SPG Securities post-results upgraded 91 to a buy. And much in Coronation, same story. Chunky dividends here. I mean, 91's on a 6.5%. And to be clear, that's a sterling 6.5% yield. These folks pay chunky dividends because they're asset light and they make money, and it pretty much drops to the bottom line.
Absolutely, especially if you are, as you said, asset light or debt light. You don't have too many concerns on your balance sheet. You're not dealing with a lot of negative things like impairments and all of that. All obviously, those things happen from a one-off perspective every now and then. Every business is subjected to those sorts of factors. Mm-hmm. But if you think about the asset managers and think about 91 in particular, I mean, if we take a rough figure of 3.9 trillion and even at 0.5% in management fees, it's almost 20 billion in management fees, 20 billion rand, right? Mm-hmm. So to say that a business like that is cash generative is probably the understatement of the year. So you start to see how they start to see things differently, and perhaps that is what becomes all the more important. Think about a Berkshire Hathaway in the US, where you've now made an $8 billion investment into the housing market, even though the housing market at the moment is not in a boom cycle or boom phase. How are asset managers looking at their cash balances, their very cash generative businesses, and thinking, how do we utilize this cash optimally to generate returns at a time where returns are probably very difficult? Asset managers usually take a long-term view. They usually come into a market, look for something, and look to hold it for a much longer term than what day traders or smaller short-term investors might be looking at. But when you're looking at a long-term view and the market is as uncertain as it is now, and we've come out of a commodity super cycle, we've come out of the COVID pandemic where valuations went down, everything is almost going through its own kind of reset. And this now for a long-term investor means you have to now wait for the opportunity as opposed to chasing it and seeking it out. Again, coming back to 91, for you at a time like this to be able to bolt on almost 20 million pounds of assets overnight, that is the selling point here. That is the story, that we are that comfortable in our positioning that we can take on that kind of acquisition. That's not a small acquisition.
It absolutely isn't. And talk back to the dividend yields. I mean, we've got Coronation dividend yield at almost 11%. We'll leave it there. Jimmy Muyaha, appreciate the morning time. And that is our poll today. LinkedIn, asset managers certainly should be benefiting from rising markets. Yeah, volatility makes it a little bit messy. But your thoughts, is there a good investment case here? Have your say, have your vote, LinkedIn. Give your money smoother returns with Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Leon Kok. Many of you will know him, of course, as Redefined, but he's also Chair SA REIT Association Accounting and JSE Committee. Leon, appreciate the early morning time. You're going through a process in terms of third edition of best practice. I want to dig into some of that. Before I do, the SA REIT Association Accounting and JSE Committee, what is this committee? Where does it fit? What's its purpose?
Morning, Simon. Yes, the SA REIT Association Accounting and JSE Committee is effectively a subcommittee of our SA REIT Association. Mm. And it comprises of a number of finance executives and also some of our corporate advisors. And the main focus of this committee is to strengthen disclosure practices and improving, and very importantly, improving consistency in financial communication across the REIT sector within South Africa. And then similarly, it also addresses regulatory concerns specifically related to some of the JSE listing issues mm-hmm. that is applicable to most of our REIT members. And it just creates a forum for finance execs and advisors within this space to be able to collaborate on matters of common concern as far as financial matters are concerned.
That's a great description, because this update that came through around best practices, this is more around clarity. This is more about bringing, and I don't want to say bringing credibility to the sector, because there is credibility. Maybe we should say sort of enhancing and tweaking more than wholesale changes.
Quite right. I mean, this third edition follows on that second edition. And our second edition, which was done 6 years ago, was quite a substantial shift from the first one. The first one was the kind of introductory member edition, and that second one introduced a substantial amount of work. And that's why we've also taken a fair amount of time to introduce the third one, because mm-hmm. in the last while, the focus was on greater adoption, greater consistency, and really understanding what the teething issues and such was. So you're quite right. This third one is more about streamlining, clarifying, mm-hmm. and more importantly, the good work that was done was actually to simplify the good work was done in the second one, so that it can encourage greater adoption and greater consistency.
Is there also a part bringing us in line with global REIT reporting? And I'm old enough to remember the day of property loan stocks and the like, before we had mm-hmm. the REIT structures. Or have we pretty much been sort of in line with global standards around the REIT structures?
Correct. So, Simon, we must just distinguish between general or conventional financial reporting, which is, you know, in South Africa as well as internationally, in terms of IFRS, International Financial Reporting Standards. And I think South Africa in general has got a very good reputation from a corporate reporting point of view. So what this BPR document encourages, and where it is very closely aligned already with the particularly European practices, is that it just streamlines it. So the mere fact that we didn't have to make many changes suggests, in my view, that we were already quite aligned. And then some of the changes, just in terms of how we classify things like the funds from operation term, is more closely aligned to the term used in Europe in particular.
You mentioned that funds from operations, FFO, that's going to be the big number going forward. This is replacing distributable earnings per share. Is there a significant difference between the two that shareholders should take notice of? Because my sense is that FFO is going to be a key reporting component into the future.
Quite right. And frankly, there is not a big mm-hmm. difference between the two terms. It's just, again, to align more with the reporting practice in internationally. And then it's quite prescriptive in terms of if you want to or you have to disclose SAREIT FFO, funds from operations, to clearly articulate and make also the comparison from an operating point of view across REITs more comparable. And then, of course, as always, it is quite common for entities to make company-specific adjustments, because each circumstances are different. And then the requirement is just to be very specific on disclosure around those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Another change is to net asset value. This now takes out goodwill, intangibles, some deferred tax. It becomes more of a tangible net asset value. I have to be honest, I have a preference for tangible net asset value. I know people who prefer the sort of more traditional net asset value. And again, these are tweaks. And I mean, I suppose from an investor perspective, from a REIT management perspective, it's just understanding what is behind the terminology that we're using, which is important.
Quite right. But just maybe to correct you, mm-hmm. our net asset value definition always excluded goodwill and intangibles and deferred tax. So what we're trying to do with this change is to just make it easier to reconcile, if you look at a conventional balance sheet, how to calculate tangible net asset value. In the past, we've also excluded certain other financial instruments, which the view was previously that was realized through the income statement. So we felt we could exclude it. But frankly, that just led to additional reconciliation. So now it made it far more simple. And if you look at a balance, you can kind of pick up three or four items that needs to be excluded to bring it to a tangible net asset value, which is quite right. That is what reflects a property company.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And then some standardization ratios, cost to income, loan to value, I mean, interest cover ratio. Again, important numbers. And again, just sort of creating a standardization so that once again, the investor looks at it and knows across the different companies what we're actually looking at and ability to compare across.
Quite right. Was starting that up. I mean, the new term or the new recommendation we included was a definition for interest cover ratio, which was previously not included, simply because interest cover ratios typically is defined by each banking arrangement that individual entities have, and there's is quite a bit of difference. So we just tried to introduce a common term that is able to sort of indicate entity's ability to service its interest, and is quite closely aligned to the loan to value, so that we can report both of those measures next to each other.
A last and a more sort of overarching question: a listed, a JSE listed company operating as a REIT, are these what's the word I'm looking for? Are these prescriptive, or are they sort of a REIT has choice, or is this a case of you're a REIT? These are the terms you need to use, and this isn't how they need to be understood by the market.
Quite right. So if you are a member of SA REITs, you must disclose the prescribed terms within the BPR.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you need to give reason why you're not. And if you're not following a definition for whatever specific reason, you need to be very clear in terms of why that differs and give a detailed explanation to us.
I like it. Leon Kok, he is, of course, boss at Redefine, but chair SA REIT Association Accounting and JC Committee. Appreciate early morning. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I was chatting, I did a breakfast rather yesterday with Opan Makra. Shen Zhao was the chief strategist, was giving a presentation on what they see macro. And he made a couple of good points. The first is, if something becomes too obvious, it's not. If everyone is saying that, it's a bubble, then it probably isn't. If everyone's saying gold is going to the moon, then it probably isn't. That crowded trade theory. But he made a great point around this sort of this hyperscaler, big tech, AI. Is it boom or is it bubble? And in some ways, it doesn't matter. But I think it does. And he makes an argument saying this is more about boom. And why does he say that? Because forward PEs, which are a great indication, are not expanding. We are seeing prices of these assets, the share prices, increasing. Absolutely, we are. But so are profits. Profits are growing at the same time. It can look spooky, and we're seeing some crazy growth coming out of some of these share prices. But some, like Alphabet, at one point they were last year trading on a 16 PE when the S&P is trading on around a 22. There was no reason why a faster growing Alphabet should be markedly cheaper. So it is, if we look at those forward PEs, Alphabet is around about the highs for the decade at current levels. But at levels it's often been at. Microsoft, Meta, Amazon, all at sort of decade lows, or in some case sort of decade averages. Nvidia kind of trading where it has been pretty much over the last decade. We haven't seen a significant stretching of those valuations as yet. Now, to be clear, we would expect that to happen. But this tells us that maybe we're in the boom part of this and the bubble is still to come. He also says that every decade has had its bubble and that this decade will be absolutely no different. In the 70s, the bubble was oil. In the 80s, it was Japan and junk bonds. The 90s was internet. 2000s, commodities. 2010s, government bonds. And now we have the AI bubble. It is pretty much one a decade. But at this point, he says, probably we're in boom. And he says bubbles usually die in the early years of the next decade. He remains bullish on AI and tech. That's it for today. We're chatting with Pirkley Radenhaes yesterday. He, of course, Herenia Capital Advisors. We were talking about Bitcoin, almost 50% off the highs, trading at the lows for 2026. We asked you if there was any opportunity. It was fairly evenly split between no, crypto is over, not yet, but soon, and then the last group saying yes, great opportunity. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday, market dips.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.